thank you so much for your word. Father, your word is life. If we believe it, God, there's power in it. If we don't believe it, Lord, it just sits there dormant, doesn't do a thing for us, Lord. But if we believe your word, Father, we act on it, we live by it, it becomes our very life. I know many of us have found that to be true. And I ask you today, Father, for this church, Grace Point, to take another step forward in understanding and obeying the word of God. God, all power and all glory is to you and your son, Jesus Christ. He is the living word. He's the word that became flesh and died for us. He dwelt among us and he was beheld, Lord. They saw him and he was full of grace and truth, and he still is. So we thank you. Lord, open our ears and to hear and our eyes to see. Let our hearts be prepared. And Lord, let us be like the Berean Christians. They examine the scriptures to see whether these things are so. I pray that people don't shut down your word because it's uncomfortable or they've never heard it or they don't understand it. I pray that we will get our Bibles out on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and look into these things. We should never just believe a man. We should always search the scriptures. I pray, Lord, that you help me to get this message across. And I pray at the end of the service, Lord, that you will move your people to move. God, give us passion. I'm thinking of what Bo announced today. And Lord, you surely have 7 people here that would want to do this. Not a burden, not something that they do from guilt, but they would want to go and reach the community, Father, reach these children. Many of them don't know you. And some probably never hear your name except from a curse word. Let's change that, Lord. Help us. Give us grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, I wanted to thank Neil, too. I think he helped out a couple of days on the building here. And Neil was here. He got our air conditioning running with some help from some folks at Lucart. Isn't it a little better today? And hopefully, we're doing a study on the building, and we're going to make sure that we can keep this building cool. Just bear with us. If it gets hot outside, we're going to try to figure it out. And I know it can get stuffy in here, but we are working on it. It's much better today. So just want to thank Neil. Neil is our, among other things, he's an elder, but he's our trustee, and he's responsible to make sure this building looks good and it functions well. Everybody, I think we should give Neil a hand, don't you? I just like to embarrass him. I know he gets embarrassed. That's his wife, Jo Lynn, back there with him. Neil married up, too. He's another guy that married up. We got a bunch of them in this building. When you serve God, young people, he'll give you someone better than you deserve, okay? I'm proof of that. You want to stand up, Pam? Okay. Amen. I'm blessed. If you have your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 24. You know, I'm not used to being way up here, but I think I'm going to stay up here for a while. I'll probably run down the aisle later. Mr. Mike Beaver, you're here today. Good to see you. Do you know, Mike, I bet it was 8 years ago, 9 years ago, that you and I did a Streetside Sunday School right over there where that memorial is, right here in Utica. I was doing what Bo did, and I came to Utica with Mike. How many kids do you think we had on that tarp, Mike?
There was a couple hundred.
We had a bunch of kids that came. I don't know where they came from. I thought they bussed them in from somewhere because we had a bunch of children. So it's just, I think it's almost prophetic that you're here today and we're announcing that ministry. We want to go do it again. And Amy, did you know what I was preaching on today? I don't know how you knew all those songs about the Holy Spirit and being filled with the Spirit, and you talked about the gifts of the Spirit. That's actually my message today. I want to talk about the Holy Spirit. And last week we left off where Jesus was risen from the dead, and we went and he gave his disciples a commission. Much like today, you know, Bo came up here, and Bo and I are interested in giving you a commission. Right? We want to put you to work. You know, we had, Marty, he's put to work, and Jeff's put to work doing things, and some folks are cutting grass, and we have ushers, and we have all types of things we're doing, but all those things that we do to take care of the building are so we can go and fulfill what's on God's heart. Now, what's on God's heart? You can answer me. If you're new here, you can answer me. People spreading the gospel. Absolutely. That's what's on God's heart. But God is not just using you. You're not just someone that God saved so he can wring you out and make you do stuff you don't want to do. God loves you. He wants to bless you. He wants to enrich your life. If you never did one thing for God, his grace covers you and his blood covers you. But that would be a very empty salvation. You'll go to heaven one day and Noah will be lined up there. Elijah will be lined up there. Peter will be lined up there, and Paul and Mary. In fact, they sing, don't they, Peter, Paul, and Mary? They'll all be lined up there, and the great Bo Bromberg will be lined up there, and Denny from Haiti and Charlie, and I'll squeak up there. And God will give us our rewards, and if all you do is get saved and ride the pew, you'll be there, and you'll be happy to be there, but you'll be like, man, I wish I would have fulfilled my calling. I wish I would have had something to offer the Lord. I wish I'd have got busy and done. Now Brad Kittle badgered me so much, but I wish I'd have done what he said. God, as we taught last week, has gifted each person in the church. So for all the work you do in the church, thank you. It's wonderful. God appreciates it. It needs to be done. But all of this is done, and God wants to build the church up, strengthen the church up. How many of you know only about maybe, I don't know how much it would be, 1/50th of your time or 1/40th of your time is in the church building. We live out there. And you know, the gifts of the Spirit, I believe that, and Carrie, it's so good to see you and Joe this morning. I've been missing you guys. It's so good to see you. I was praying for you. So just good to see you. You've been on my heart. So the time we spend here is to equip us and to build us up, and we go out and live our lives. We go out into our workplace, we go into our families, and we go into our world, and this is all preparation so we can walk with the Lord week by week. We can pray when we go home. I have a tremendous testimony, and I don't want to just tell stories all the time. I had a tremendous answer to prayer this week. Tremendous. Something I had been seeking God for, something that seemed impossible. It was a prayer for my daughter. God answered my prayer. It wasn't a Sunday morning prayer that God answered. It was a Monday morning prayer. It was walking my floors, lifting my daughter up to God. It was spectacular. God answered my prayer. I don't just pray in church. If all you've prayed is when you're praying at church, you're missing the boat. That song says, oh, what grace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. Oh, because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. God isn't just God and God's going to do what God's going to do. You might have been taught that. That's not true. If that is true, you would never have to pray. Jesus wouldn't have had to pray. It says in Hebrews 5 that Jesus cried out with long prayers and agony and tears, and he was heard. Why? Why? Because he obeyed. Because he suffered and he cried out. That's why he was heard. It wasn't just something light with Jesus. The Bible says he would steal away and he would pray. So if you're not praying, I feel bad for you because you are forfeiting much grace in your life and much opportunity. Learn to pray. Prayer can be hard. There are times when I go to pray and I wake up 15 minutes later with a nice nap. Am I the only one? I mean, like, you would think you're talking to the creator of the universe. You would think you could generate a little enthusiasm. The one that holds your life in your hands. And I just got to the point where I say, Lord, I must have needed a nap. Forgive me. And I pick up. I'll be worshiping God. And I hope I'm not the only one. Sometimes my mind will drift away from me. Ever happened to you? I'll be thinking about my sermon or thinking about, you know, spending time with Pam. And, you know, but you know what? God deserves our focus. And he deserves our prayers. And if you'll learn to pray, God will answer your prayers. Press into it. You see, as blood-bought Christians, every person here that names the name of Christ, we have an equal standing in righteousness. Unless you're getting your righteousness by your works or you're obeying the law of God, we are all righteous, clothed, Sister Evelyn, part of my revelation I was telling you about, we are all clothed with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. It's his righteousness. When God looks at you, Brian, I know you said you had a bad week. Jennifer is out, you know, having a good time. You haven't been feeling good. But that does not change your righteousness before God. You can march right up here and be as bold as a tiger by faith in the righteousness of God. Now, of course, when you get along with God, because we are in process and because we're being transformed, God's going to talk to you about your life. God doesn't want to leave you the same. But the fact is, what I'm saying, folks, is we need to be praying people. We need to spend time with the Lord because we forfeit a lot of grace and a lot of opportunities by not praying. That's just for your benefit, let alone lifting up other people to the Lord. I know many of you fasted for 7 days with different things. It's not a matter of giving up this or giving up that. There's a purpose. If you give up food, God does something inside you. I know He does because I've done it. He'll do something transformative inside you. I don't know why it takes that. You become weak in your flesh, and God begins to minister to your spirit, to your heart, to your inner self. But when you give up anything for God, you're not getting brownie points. The purpose of this was so some people gave up, you know, Facebook or TV so we could focus on the Lord. That's the point. You didn't get a bonus point for giving up Facebook, but if you spent that time praying to God, that's the point. You're focusing. And I know the Lord blessed you, and it helps the church to focus like that. But that's the point of any fast, to take our time and attention and focus on God. Now, what I want to talk about is as a people that are preparing ourselves to serve God. And I don't want to lose people in this church. But this church is a church that is going to, I believe, from the heart, from the spirit, serve the Lord. You won't be very comfortable here if you don't have the idea that you're going to get busy for Jesus and do something for the Lord. Even if you don't do it here, where you work or where you go to school, you have opportunities all the time to do things for the Lord or follow the Lord. The Spirit is a moving, creative force. Did you know that? The Holy Spirit is active. He's like a fire. That's why they said tongues of fire set on them on the day of Pentecost. The Spirit gets inside of you. You know, in the book of Acts, when they were trying to pick out men to serve, they would say, he's a good man and he's full of the Holy Spirit. When they that's a qualifying statement. That means that some folks weren't full of the Holy Spirit. They might have been saved, but something that set apart the first deacons, something that set Philip apart, something that set Barnabas apart, something that set Stephen apart, was they were full of the Holy Spirit. You know, some people will say to me, they'll say, Brother Brad, I don't know how you did this or did that. I can guarantee you, unless I am filled with the Holy Spirit, I'm not much good for anything. And Pam knows when I wander and waver, I get because I'll start crabbing at her. Now watch it. I saw that. I won't even pick on you, Pam. But you know, we all know that you know your partner. You know when your partner's full of the Spirit, full of joy, full of God. You know how it is to live with them. But when we get full of ourselves, we're like Paul, no good thing dwells in me. I was born a crab, I'll die a crab, right? You know, but you know, even, Brother Terry, you left your seat. Does that mean I can't pick on you? I have seen so much transformation in Terry, what God is working in his life and changing him from the inside out. Terry is learning to be filled with the Spirit. You know, if you don't do anything, there's not much sense really being filled with the Spirit. You'll enjoy it, but the Spirit, if you're born again, the Holy Spirit resides in you. I'm going to read something from Schofield. He's a Baptist guy. If you're born again, the Spirit resides in you, and He's with you, and He's in you. But being baptized, which I'm going to talk about, being baptized in the Spirit, which I want folks at the altar today to be filled or refilled with the Spirit, that's where I'm going. If you don't know, I'm going to make an appeal for that. Because to be baptized with the Spirit is overflowing out of your life. Have you ever met one of those irritating Christians that are full of the Holy Spirit when you just want to go crawl into a hole? You come into church and you're down and you're angry and things aren't good, and you go up to a brother and you say, how you doing? I'm wonderful. How are you doing? Can I pray for you? Hallelujah. And you're like, would you get away from me? You know, and they'll pursue you too. What's this? Well, let me tell you something that God did for me this week. And they'll pursue you and tell you the good news in their life. That's a person that's probably spent time with Jesus. When the disciples went before the Sanhedrin, he said they took note that they had been with Jesus. There's something about somebody, that song that Amy sang today about his presence. I sing that song like a man that means it. It says, "It's your presence, Lord. I know he's in you. I know he's with you, but it's your presence." When God comes on a man, when God baptizes a man or a woman in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit flows out of you. The song said today, "There's a river of life flowing out of me. Makes the lame to walk and the blind to see." That's the Spirit moving out of your life. One of the reasons as Christians we want to get the blood of Christ to wash away our sins, to get right with the Lord, we don't want the fountain, the well, to get gummed up. You ever had your well gummed up? You ever had a real well to get those things? And we were digging these pipes yesterday, and they were talking about the angle on it and whether mud was going to collect at the end and the stones, and we built a little, what'd you call it, little sump at the bottom. And all the purpose of all we were doing, we took a level. We finally gave up on the string. I guess it didn't work very good. And we just put a level down there, and we started watching the level. All the purpose of all of this was so we could direct that water. We didn't want the mud gumming it up. We didn't want it going back where it came from. We want that water to be released and to go out. Look, it's not your beauty, and some of you are beautiful. It's not your intelligence, and some of you are intelligence that God needs. God needs your heart and your person. They said that, as I said before, Peter and James and John, they said they were ignorant and unlearned fishermen. In other words, God didn't go, although he did get Paul, and Paul was pretty smart. He can use your brain, Roger, if you give your brain to Jesus. Paul had to go in the wilderness and unlearn a bunch of stuff before God could use him. He had to go unlearn a whole bunch of stuff before the Lord could put his hand on him. But it's not your, it's the Lord in you. It's Christ in you. It's the Lord moving in you. I had a lady at River Road this week, ran into me. She's actually our accountant here at the, never met her before. And I was talking to somebody. In fact, Bo, you walked in right at that time. That lady with the reddish hair I was talking to, I think it was reddish, talking to her. And we were talking, and she had mentioned something about sharing Christ or witnessing to Christ. I said, you know, the only thing that helps a person or that helps me witnessing for Jesus is I've just learned when the Lord tells me to do something, if I do it, there's a blessing in it. I've done it too many times and stepped out too many times. You would think, this is going to end bad, okay? If I do what the Lord says, this is going to end bad. But if I've stepped out and I've obeyed the Lord, it's always ended good. God has met me. Even if you get resistance and kickback on the inside, you always have that satisfaction that you stepped out and you walked on the water. Do you know if you had a healing gift, you believed in healing people, and you got a gift inside of you, it has to be that the Lord is going to talk to you about people outside that person needs prayer. Wouldn't it be that way? Or do you think God is only interested in people in this house right here, this building? Is that the only ones God's interested in? The reason we put that benevolence box out there is we are going to get a call from somebody that's going to get evicted from their house, and we want to help them with the rent. God cares about them. We're going to have someone that needs their utilities paid, and they're going to be in dire straits. I know women get abandoned by their husbands, and husbands get abandoned by their wives, and people have needs, and things happen. So we got a little box out there, the benevolence box. Every penny that you put in there is going to go to help somebody. We care about people outside the church. The church is a place, as I said, where when we love each other, we come in here and we grow together, we learn together. We're here on Sunday mornings. Some of the best teaching you'll get is Brother Jeff on Sunday morning. He does a great job. Or on Wednesday night, Brother Jeff teaches and Mark teaches and different ones. Amy taught this last week. She gave a sermon for her school. But some of that, we'll learn together, we'll grow together, but your life is going to be spent outside this church. Is that true? Amen. So let's go to our scripture in Luke 24. I got to watch my long introductions. So So last week we talked about, anybody remember last week? I just posted the sermons on the website. You can download Grace Point with Brad Kittle on iTunes or Podbean, or you can go to Grace Point Utica on the, that's our webpage, and we download the sermons there. I actually downloaded both of them. But we taught on Luke 24:44 about how Jesus confirmed the promises made to the fathers. That Jesus, every scripture and the Psalms and the prophets, all came true and came to pass based on the scripture. That Jesus fit the bill. Yeah, listen to it. If you didn't hear the message, you should listen to it just for that alone. Jesus is the fulfillment of prophecy. And in verse 49, Jesus said, "Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry or wait in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high." You take that in context with the scriptures from last week. Go wait, and you're going to get power from on high. I want you, my mission and my purpose is to make you a witness. You're going to be a witness, not just in your words, but the power of God on your life, the demonstration of God on your life. You need the Holy Spirit. Guys, you're not going to be able to do this job alone. It was just in a few chapters before that when the trial came, and we're all, you can do good on your own for a while, okay, until Satan tests you. You'll do good. We can go out in fleshly and natural zeal, and we can last for a while, but boy, when that trial came, and all the religious people were calling Jesus a heretic. All the religious people were calling Jesus a blasphemer. All the religious people were abandoning Jesus. The apostles, the disciples, they weren't to be seen anywhere. They were gone. They were afraid. They abandoned and deserted Jesus Christ. He said, "Guys, you need power. So the next time the heat comes, you're going to have something inside you that's going to stand in the face of persecution. That's going to stand in the face of opposition. When your friends at work make fun of you because you're leaving for Wednesday night service. When your friends make fun of you, you lay hands on somebody and you really expect God to heal them. Or when you decide that you can pray in the Spirit and you believe what the Bible says about the anointings of the Holy Spirit, and you need something inside of you that you're going to be able to stand and take people's ridicule. That's the power of the Spirit. Or when opposition comes, family, friends. Jesus said you'll have opposition from people in your own house that'll stand against you. We need power from God. And we know in Acts chapter 8, Jesus, it was written by the same guy, Luke wrote Acts. He made the same promise. He said, "Go into Jerusalem." He said, "And you will receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you." In John, he said, "The Holy Spirit will be in you and he'll be with you." And that's true. He's in us and he's with us. But we need to be being filled always with the Holy Spirit. We need to be in the presence of the Lord. You know, our Lord Jesus, as I said, I love the scriptures. They said that Jesus would break off in the early hours of the day, and he would get with the Father and get his game plan together and spend time seeking the Father. We need to spend time waiting on the Lord. It's not that I've been filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is in my life, and I'm telling you, I need to spend time to this day waiting on the Lord in prayer. I need to spend time hearing from God. I need to spend time getting before God, and sometimes I'll have temptation or battles or fears. I need to go before God to cast my fears onto the Lord so I can keep going. I've told some people in here, some of my hardest times are after I preach on Sunday morning. I'll bet you half the time I leave here, I leave feeling like I did a horrible job. I remember Gideon met me in the parking lot one Sunday night. I was beating myself up so bad, it just feels like every demon in Utica jumped on me, you know, and a couple from Martinsburg too. You're an idiot. You know, you're an idiot. You know, you don't know what you're talking, just all this stuff coming out my head. No, I need to get back in the presence of the Lord and hear what God has to say about me. Some of you live under the constant condemnation of the devil. All you hear Monday through Saturday is you're stupid, you're an idiot, nothing you do is going to work. Stop it. You are not going to be able to throw that off on yourself. You need to get with Jesus. I'll say it a thousand ways and a thousand times. You need to spend time with the Lord and in His Word and get filled with the Spirit so you can cast that stuff off of you. You're a child of God. You shouldn't be living like that. And if you do, in a certain measure, at the beginning, it's absolutely not your fault. But if you've been a Christian for 5 years, you should be learning by now that that's not who you are. One of the first messages I taught here was hands up. Anybody remember that? Get your hands up. Put the Word of God in your mouth. Get time in the Word of God. Be filled. Get your hands up. We're in a battle. So many people that I know married couples that loved each other, looked each other in the eye and said, "You're the most beautiful person." On their honeymoon, they had so much passion for each other. It was unbelievable. They felt so blessed. They were skipping on the moon. They couldn't believe it. I married this beautiful person. Both of them Christians. And 5 years later or 10 years later, they hate each other. Do you think that happened in a day? Do you think that happened in an hour? No, it did not. Get your hands up. Men, fight for your wives. Pray for them. Pray. Don't talk about them. Pray for them. Amen. Dads, pray for your kids. They are going out into a wicked world, and there's stuff out there that you don't even know about because the level of wickedness that has permeated our society is ridiculous. The things on the internet, the things that kids get into, you can't believe the stuff they're getting into. You, Dad, are like a shepherd of your house. And if you don't believe anything else I'm saying, you need to watch over your kids. I wish I could get back my kids at a young age. I really do, because I would do some things different. If I could get those kids back, you're their shepherd. You're to be watching over them. You are to be praying for them. You need power against the enemy that's come against your family. You know, when the children of Israel left Egypt, oh, Lord Jesus. When the children of Israel left Egypt, okay, Pharaoh said, "You can go, but you can't take your kids. Can't take your kids. You can go, but you can't take your cattle." He didn't want them to take their property, and he didn't want them to take their families. "I guess I'll let you go. If you're poor, you're beat down, and your family's all lost, I'll let you go. Mike, you can go, but your family's going to serve the devil." Is that a good deal? No. Joshua had another spirit in him. Joshua said, "Hey, as for me and my household, we're going to serve God. Not just me, me and my household, we're all going to serve God. I'm speaking for my kids. Some of them may be dumber than 6 o'clock. No, sorry. But you know what? You can speak for them. No, we run to sin like, what's a good example, you know? Like moths going to a flame. I got a little bug in my lamp. He's been there for a week. And every time I turn, that struck me as funny. Every time I turn my light on, I see that little guy trying to crawl out of there. That light got him. He fell in there and he got attracted to the light. I turned the light. He's been stuck in there for a week. I keep thinking about a mercy killing. Like, maybe I should just pull him out or get a little bit of Raid and squirt it up there. But I'll tell you, it's kind of weird that I'm just kind of doing a study here, seeing how long he'll stay up there. But you know, it's my prayer line. I know it's funny, Kaylee. You know, when I see that thing, he got attracted in there, and that very light, that very thing that attracted him, boom, it got him. Now he's trapped in there. We get drawn to sin and things that destroy us. Now, I don't want to harp on TV. You're free. You can watch what you want. You're a free person. But you got to be careful. Because whatever you turn on in the TV and you allow into your head, you're giving it permission to roost. If you like to watch about vampires and witches and warlocks, you're letting them all into your home by permission. You're allowing them in. Now, you can watch what you want. I'm not your judge. If you think I'm full of baloney, then go ahead and watch it. But whatever you let into your mind, you're allowing it. You are the one that decides. I talked to kids in school. I talked to kids in school about this. I talked how we're a sponge. Whatever you let into that sponge soaks in there, and that's what you got in you. You've got to clean that sponge out every now and then, get some new things. If you're angry, if you're bitter, you got to get that old bitterness out of that sponge and wring it out. Get some pure water of the blood of Jesus. Get some pure water of the Word of God. You might need to wash 1,000 times. You keep washing that thing in the Word. You keep washing that thing in the blood. Something's going to happen to that brain of yours that's called a sponge. Something is going to change. Peter said, quit polluting yourself with the pollutions of the world. The world's crazy. The world, they don't know right from wrong. They don't know good. They don't know good and evil. The Bible tells us these things. The world don't know now if you're a boy or a girl until you tell them. Someone's got to, oh, I decided I'm a girl. Really? Is there science behind that? No, there isn't science behind it. That you can just decide at random what you may have a sexual preference. You are what your DNA says you are. The world's crazy is what I'm telling you. They're crazy. They're getting kids confused now. Like, give a kid an option. Come on. You got to, come on. Decide. Are you a, you look like a girl to me.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah, I am a girl. I don't mean to tease people. I'm serious. Now, I go out there. I don't tease people that are confused. I don't judge people that are confused. I don't throw stones at them. I'm just telling you, the world's crazy. They don't know right from wrong. They don't know the truth. We have the Word of God. We have the Spirit of God. We have the truth of God that keeps us straight. And without that, we're all going to sink. It's amazing how fast you will go back to your old sins when you walk away from Jesus. You start unbelief. You quit believing in God. You quit following God. You'll be at the bar stool singing Hank Williams within 2 weeks. I lost that love and feeling. And it's gone. Gone, gone. You'll leave your wife for someone that will leave you in a heartbeat. You'll leave your beautiful, sweet wife because the devil will deceive you. Has anybody seen that besides me? It's rampant. Jesus said, a wicked and adulterous generation. Okay, there's a wicked and adulterous generation. Marriage and family are from God. God designed that. We need to keep our families strong, keep our marriages strong. And keep our lives strong. God will bless that and anoint that. I don't know what this has to do with the Holy Spirit, but I'll get to it. Folks, we need to be filled with power. Power to live right. Power to be examples. Do you know, really, the world is thirsty and hungry for people that have their heads on right. For people that won't judge them or won't condemn them. Or won't put them down, but will bring them in and show them a better way, to show them a way out, to bring Jesus to them. Now, if they don't want Jesus, there's not much we can do for them, but people are hungry. In order for us to live this life and be examples as we should, we need to be filled with God's power. Can you give me just a few more minutes? Okay, is that okay? It's like 4 till 12. Can I have a few more minutes, or I'm not going to get where I need to get if I don't? If you will flip over to the book of Acts, and I know some of you got to get out. Just bear with me. I really wanted to get done 10 minutes early so we could do more praying. Because this thing isn't just about words. It's not just about preaching. I can preach here and preach and preach, but if we don't see God in action, our lives won't change. If this is just a sermon that you hear today and tomorrow you forget it, you know, what made the difference in me was God changed me when I heard His word and acted on it. I want God to change you too. I want God to change your life. That's what I desire. That's what I pray for, that you become more and more like Jesus. I don't know how fast you'll grow. I don't know how long it's going to take you to get there. It's not for me to judge where you're at or where you'll be. Sometimes you'll have highs and lows. You might come in and out. But I want that steady growth and march toward Jesus for all of us, including myself. But in the book of Acts, Jesus said, you'll receive power and you'll be witnesses to me. And in Acts chapter 2, and I'm going to hit some things quick here, but in Acts chapter 2, they were all together in one place. Now, folks, what were they doing all together in one place? Do you know? They were all praying together. It happened again, I think, in Acts 4 or 5. And suddenly there came from heaven a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues of fire, and it sat on them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there are people that say, well, that infilling of the Holy Spirit was just one time and one time only. But if you turn over and you'll look in your Bible, you will see just a few chapters later, they had the same thing happen again, that they were being persecuted and the apostles were beaten. And they got together and they cried out to God again. And they said, Lord, stretch forth your hand to heal and let signs be done by the Holy Child Jesus. And it said that the room that they were in shook again and they were filled with the Holy Spirit again. They were facing opposition and persecution. And the Holy Spirit came and filled them again, and they went out again with great boldness and preached the gospel. They regrouped, they prayed together, they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they went back out and they preached again. They asked God to stretch his hand out and heal, and the signs and wonders would be done. And then in chapter 10, and you'll have to look this up yourself. I'm trying to summarize something, but go over to the story about Cornelius. Peter was called to preach to Cornelius and his family. Now, these were all, I assume, Italians. He was a centurion from Rome. They all spoke Italian. And Peter was preaching the gospel to them. And they were Gentiles. They weren't Jews. This was the first time that Gentiles received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And as Peter was preaching to them and preaching the gospel, please look this up. Please dig into these scriptures. Please write them down so you know I don't have a trick Bible. The Holy Spirit came on them, and they all began to pray in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. In other words, the same power that baptized them in chapter 2, the same power that came later and filled them later, now came on the Gentiles, and they spoke in tongues, and the Holy Spirit filled them up. When the Holy Spirit fills you up, you begin to speak. When the Holy Spirit fills you up, you begin to be gifted. When the Holy Spirit fills you up, there's something that happens to you that transforms and changes your life. Now, take note, just so no one confuses you, these were all Italians. They did not need someone to interpret for them. They didn't need to speak different languages like the day of Pentecost when they spoke in, I don't know if it was 14 languages, whatever it was, 14 languages. They were all Italians. The reason that the tongues came on them, because the power of God came on them and the Spirit came out of them. And they spoke in tongues. There was no interpreter. There was no other language there. The same thing happened in Acts chapter 19. Write it down and study it. What people get hung up, and I know I got hung up, and I wish I had more time. I really do. I don't have time to get into it because I really want to teach through this methodically. People get hung up on tongues. I want to tell you what tongues are. It's a language. That's all it is. It's a language. Hear me. Don't get, when I was a kid, they taught me so many confusing things about it because they were afraid of it. They were afraid of tongues. In 1 Corinthians 14:2, write it down and study it. Paul tells you that your spirit has a voice, that your spirit speaks mysteries to God. That if you don't have an interpreter, that you can go in your room and you can pray in an unknown language and your spirit is speaking mysteries to God. Don't get hung up on this. If I had y'all raise your hand, many of you have done this. Is that right? Anybody done this in here? Am I the only one? Yeah, a bunch of us have. What happens, folks, when you're filled with the Spirit, whether you know it or not, your spirit has a voice. And that comes out in a heavenly language, whatever you want to call it. They call it tongues. It's languages that comes out of you. That happened on the day of Pentecost, chapter 2 of Acts. It happened in chapter 10 with Cornelius. That's the Gentiles. It happened in chapter 19. And Paul teaches on it in 1 Corinthians 12 through 14. He talks about it. If you're in a church, someone stands up and they pray in a tongue and nobody interprets. They said, sit down, pray to yourself and God. That's what he says. Says, he that prays in an unknown tongue speaks to God. Now, the reason I think that the enemy wants to scare people, it's nothing scary about it. The reason the enemy wants to scare people with this is because when you pray in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit is grabbing a hold of you and helping you to pray. I'll pray an hour and I've covered the whole world. I pray from Jamaica to Russia and back again. I run out of things to pray. God bless Denny. You've already prayed for that. Okay, well, give me some. God bless Roger. You pray in the Spirit, you can pray forever, and you begin to pray out mysteries in your life. You begin to pray out, it's a powerful thing. Don't get hung up on it. Denominational churches are often afraid of it. I do not know why. I was taught it didn't exist, and I had the encounter with the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit filled me up, and it changed my life. I don't care if you pray in tongues or not. I don't care. I'm just telling you, it's real. I've experienced it. Anybody else experience it? Say amen. A bunch of people have, okay? We're not making it up. And here's why I bring it up. I am going to give a call for people that need to be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit today. And I don't care if you pray in tongues or pray in the Spirit, but you need power from heaven to change your life, to be a witness wherever you go. You feel your limitations. Or there are sins and things in your life that you can't shake, and you need power from another world to fill you up and change you. That's what the altar call is going to be. Anybody in this church that's filled with the Holy Spirit could pray in the Spirit. Some people get blocked on it. I don't care if you do or you don't. Your spirit has a voice. It does. Read it. Just study. Go back and study those scriptures I gave you. Go back into 1 Corinthians 14. Your spirit has a voice. If you ever get a hold of that and you pray, you're going to release power. You're going to intercede and pray for other people. That's why the devil fights it so much. He doesn't want you praying and interceding for other people. He wants you afraid of it. It's in the Bible. Study it. Nowhere in the Bible does it say it passed away. Anywhere. If that's passed away, then the Holy Spirit's passed away. So here's what I want to do. Amy, you can come up. Folks that need power from heaven in their life, you need power to walk out this Christian life and you're not succeeding. Perhaps you were filled with the Spirit and you've wandered and you've wavered. The altar calls for you. Perhaps you don't know. You never even heard of the Holy Spirit, but you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's not a one-time thing. I want to read you what Schofield said about it. Brother Schofield is a Baptist guy, and he said, the New Testament distinguishes between having the Spirit, which is true of all believers, and being filled with the Spirit, which is the Christian's privilege and duty. There is one baptism with the Spirit, but many fillings with the Spirit. One baptism with the Spirit, many infillings with the Spirit. So if you want power in your life today, you need a fresh touch from God. We want to lay hands on you. When you come, the Holy Spirit will touch you if you come with an open heart. If something flies out of your belly and like another, you just go with it. I've had people, we've laid hands on them to receive the Holy Spirit, and it was a week later that they prayed in the Spirit. I've had them do it a month later, 6 months later, sometimes the next day. I don't care. But if you need power from the Holy Spirit, I'm opening the altar up. Are you okay with that? Okay. All right. She's going to sing. If you need power from the Holy Spirit, come forward. I need Jeff and Evelyn up here with me. Where's Ken Kulikowski? Can you and Linda come up with me and stand with me? Don't wait, just come. You can come now. You can stand up if you want. Come now, then we'll release. You can go ahead and stand up. You want a fresh touch from